This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thank you for being here. Every day we cover different things of interest around the Umpqua Valley. It varies a lot, but right now the fire's getting a lot of attention. We're spending some time doing that this week, and we're doing another two-part segment today. We're going to go to the Homestead Complex and also the Diamond Complex. We'll start closer in near Glide there at the Strader Ranch property with the group that is there, and that includes Thomas Kyle Millward, who is the public information officer for Team 8. Thomas, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Oh, thanks for having me, Kyle. Appreciate being here.
So, how long have you been up there? What day did you arrive?
Let's see. Travel day for Northwest Team 8 was the 4th. We shadowed the Great Basin team. We replaced on the 5th and then took command early morning on the 6th.
And where are you based out of normally?
Individually, I am based out of Washington State. I drove down from Olympia, Washington for this one.
So, and I imagine you've probably been doing this kind of work during the summer for a long time.
Yeah, this is my 5th fire season, and it's been a busy one so far.
Now, are you with one of the fire or public land agencies normally?
Yes, my day job is also wildfire, but I work for Washington State Department of Natural Resources, and when it's not the heart of fire season, I am their wildfire communications manager.
And do I detect a little British accent in there?
You do. Well spotted. I'm a first-generation American from the UK.
Very good. So let's talk about the status of the fire. How are things going up there?
As you know, the Homestead Complex is a series of fires where we have command over 7 fires in the Umpqua National Forest, totaling 4,387 acres. And it's been a bit of a slow burn, if you'll pardon the pun, for the majority of the time that we've been on this incident as a team. Fires burning in a lot of deep timber, of course, and while activity has remained pretty minimal for the most part, it's hard to access, and we've had quite a bit of smoke cover, which has limited visibility for aircraft, and that has, of course, limited our ability to use aircraft.
Now, how many folks do you have up there working on this incident?
We've actually, contrary to quite a few other teams in the region, we've been able to expand the number of personnel that we've had on this incident. We're up to 591 personnel, and that's an increase of a little over 100 folks in the last 10 or so days.
Now, how spread out is this complex? Because just by the name complex, most people listening realize we're not dealing with a fire, we're dealing with a number of fires, but what's the kind of the geographic footprint size?
So you're asking just the footprint of the complex itself, pretty much across the across the width and breadth of the forest. We've got, obviously, Reynolds Butte way down there in the southeast corner, and then to the north on the perimeter is the Horse Heaven Creek Fire, and then well over to the west is No Man Fire. That's actually crossing out of the forest and into BLM land to the west. So it's definitely a widespread complex.
As we look ahead, looks like it's warming back up a bit, but on the weekend, at least in Roseburg, we're looking for a little bit of brief rain potential. Are you seeing anything like that in your weekend forecast up there?
Yeah, the incident meteorologist has mentioned that there's a possibility for some showers on Saturday. We're not sure how confident we are in that. We're seeing some conflicting model data, but obviously, however short term, any precipitation is welcome on a wildfire.
And for the for the hundreds of people there, how far away have some of them come to be involved in this work?
Well, from here in the States, we've got folks from all over. I was just chatting with an engine boss who's here from Arizona. But I think possibly the more widely publicized folks we have internationally is we have fire personnel from Australia and New Zealand on this incident. This is the first time that folks from those two countries have been here since 2018, but the U.S. does have international agreements in place with Canada, Mexico, Australia, and New Zealand to obtain fire suppression personnel during periods of high or extreme wildland activity.
Now, if I understand correctly from previous years, as crews are here, folks kind of rotate in and out and are not here for forever, but here for a certain period of time. Is that right?
That's correct. Typically, an incident management team is on an incident for 14 days. In rare instances, they can extend for 21 days. I don't want to, jinx it, but it looks like teammate will rotate out after our full 14 on this one.
So what is it like for when you're not working up at the fires or doing what you're doing in your example, what goes on around the fire camp? Talk about what that's like.
Well, I mean, I think when people think of an incident management team, they should think sort of that leadership component, right? And so there's a lot of sort of strategical decisions that are made during the day. People from the operations group meet with the incident commander and folks from planning and information and other areas of the team. And then those sort of big picture decisions are getting made here in fire camp while folks that are out on the fire, those div soups and other people of that caliber of middle management are doing the tactical on the ground decision making. So it's a strategic approach here in fire camp versus more of that tactical approach out in the field.
And you mentioned some areas are harder to access, which probably means that it's a good thing for firefighter safety that this has been more of a slow moving situation.
That's absolutely correct. Safety is obviously number one priority on any incident, and the slow-moving nature of this fire has allowed us to be very deliberate in our actions that we take out in the field.
So what's the hardest part of working one of these incidents?
I think, obviously that varies. That varies from area of the team. Some are hotter than others and have different needs. And I think, but one of the biggest challenges when doing something like this is being able to sort of take your limited resources, and we are operating in a part of the fire season where limited resources are an impact for many teams, and being able to delineate those resources among the different components on your chessboard, the different fires within the complex. And I think one of the successes that teammate has seen so far, and the reason that unlike some of our neighboring incidents, we've been able to accrue more resources, is that we're having an impact, and we're seeing visible progress. And the best way to release resources back into the pool is to wrap up an incident quickly and efficiently. And so because we've been operating in that manner, we've been able to unlock a few extra resources here and there to increase our efforts.
Anything else especially interesting about this particular incident you want to share with folks?
Well, I think it's just really cool to have, our friends from Australia and New Zealand on this incident. It's the first fire I've got to work with them. Really just kind of echoes that fire is a really small community, and we all rally around every season to help ourselves, but more importantly, help our neighbors.
All right, Thomas Kyle Millward is from Team 8, the public information officer at the Homestead Complex. Thomas, thanks for being on today.
Appreciate you having me, Kyle. Have a great day.
All right, segment 2 is coming up, and we'll check in at the Diamond Complex, the interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM, and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson at 1. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show at 4. Inside Douglas County, we're focused on the fires today. Now we move to the Diamond Complex. Kim Smoltz, one of the folks providing information to the media and the public up at Diamond Lake. Kim, thanks for being on with us.
You bet.
So how long have you been up there at the Diamond Complex?
This would be day 11.
And where are you actually from on a normal day job situation?
I live near Missoula, Montana, and I'm retired from the Forest Service after 41 years.
Wow. So you're retired. You could stay in Montana and be chilling out doing something else. What drives you to help out in this way?
Sadomasochism, I guess. I don't know. It's a service we provide, and we have skills and knowledge, and we're needed. So, we like to come to see some place we haven't been before, meet new people, and provide them all the information we can about what's going on.
So talk about the status of the Diamond Complex. What's going on there that the people ought to know about?
Well, we have 100% containment on 15 out of the 27 fires. It all started on July 16th. So we're making progress every day. We have 9,663 acres currently in the fire, and it's overall about 29% containment there. We've got 836 people working on it, including 11 Australians and one New Zealander that have come out to help us in some overhead positions.
Wow.
We've got a couple hotshot crews finally. They just showed up in the last few days, and that's really helpful because they can take on some of those harder pieces of ground and some of this stuff that takes a lot more, skill and experience than maybe our regular crews can do.
Most people listening would be well aware that up in that area, access can be a real issue with some of these fires.
Yeah, absolutely. Some are next to roads and others are not. So there's a few that are in steep country or, unroaded. And so it takes a little longer to deal with those. Luckily, they're not running real active right now.
So with the weather, has that been a help to have things at least a bit cooler? Certainly a couple weeks ago, we were blazing hot.
Yeah, absolutely. The relative humidities have come up. It's been a little bit cooler, but most fortunately, there hasn't been a big wind, and that's a major driver of fire is when it gets lots of wind on it. So the fires that are up on the ridges, they're seeing more activity than the ones that are down in the valleys.
We are looking locally, at least in the Roseburg area, with a little potential for rain on Saturday. Are you seeing that in your forecast models up there?
That's too many days out, really, to know if it's going to rain on Saturday. We may have a thunderstorm here tonight with about 10% of wetting rain, but we'll see.
Sometimes those can help, and sometimes those are not so helpful.
Yeah, exactly. If there's outflow winds with the thunderstorm, then that can cause problems, too. So our firefighters are staying heads up.
And for the crews up there, now, you said you've been here how long again?
11 days. We usually do a 14-day tour.
So then in a few more days, do you head back to Montana?
Yes, and we will transition to a team out of Northern California that's going to come up.
And the idea there is to keep kind of everybody fresh and not just get worn out by the hard work that's going on, I guess.
Yeah, we're working 16-hour days for 14 or 15 days straight, and you got to go home and pay your bills and see your loved ones and get some rest.
Wow, working 16-hour days in an office situation or something like that is taxing enough, let alone doing it where you're not living at home, you're far from home, you don't have a lot of the conveniences of home. That's a real sacrifice in a lot of ways.
Yeah, it is. People that do it are pretty dedicated.
And have things been like in the camp? Now, you're close into Diamond Lake there. Have you gotten over to the lake itself at all?
Yeah, once in a while we get over to see the lake. Our ICP is on the north end out in about a 200-acre opening. So we're not at the resort, really. But our trap line includes all the campgrounds around the lake. So somebody gets to go out and see it every day.
And I know this area normally affects a lot of tourists. What are the impacts for folks trying to drive through on the main highway 138 East?
138 is open. All the roads are open. So we haven't talked about the Middle Fork Fire yet, and that's really a key point. That the Middle Fork Fire is separate from the Diamond Complex. It's burning in Crater Lake National Park. And the north entrance road to the park is now closed because the east side of the fire is where we're putting in a control line along that existing road. So that's got to be closed to the public so they can get in the south entrance. The park is open. We just need to close that road for about a week or so.
Now, the Middle Fork Fire, I know, topped 5,000 acres in the latest report. It seems to be fairly aggressive.
Yeah, it's heading east northeast at a steady pace. It's not burning up a lot of acres every day, but it had a little more wind on it yesterday, so it moved somewhat. You know, it's all in the national park still, so we can't build direct line in there. Additionally, it's burning through an old burn scar, so it's a sea of snags, a sea of dead trees. So it's incredibly dangerous to put people right up against the edge of the fire there. So what we are doing is building contingency lines out on the national forest that borders the park on the Rogue River, Siskiyou Forest, and on the Umpqua National Forest. So we've got, we've opened up old roads. We're masticating along there to make fuel breaks. So we're trying to get the thing surrounded on three sides at least, you know, where we can operate with machinery and falling trees.
Well, a lot of effort goes into this. For you, what's the hardest part of this kind of work?
Gall. The fatigue, probably. Yeah, it gets you after a while, and you just got to maintain your sanity.
Now, how are you doing on, obviously, we've got you on the phone, cell service and all that, work out all right?
Yeah, it's been stellar here.
And I know that's, communication is obviously very important with these fire incidents for people to communicate with each other, both inside and outside the fire.
Yeah, for the most part, the firefighters and the people that are operating out on the line are using radios. With, you know, repeaters on the mountains around here. So that's always pretty reliable.
And have you dealt with similar type fires where you're from in Montana?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we got steep, rugged country in Montana as well. So, yeah, been doing that since 1984.
Wow. Well, Kim Smolt joining us from the Diamond Complex, about time to wrap up the program. A lot of work up there, and I know a lot of effort going in from all the crews. So thanks for your part, and thanks for being on the radio with us.
You bet. Talk to you again.
All right, 1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.